The following shiur has been presented by Rav Moshe Zev Granik, member of the Beis Havad Dayanus Koilel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Daf Memches. Gemara here in Gittin on Daf Memches with Aleph. It discusses a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The machloikis is kinyan ha-peiros are considered like a kinyan ha-guf, or if they're not considered like a kinyan ha-guf. Now this means that a person, regular person who buys a piece of land, he has a kinyan haguf, he has a kinyan in the actual piece of land, the land belongs to him. A kinyan peiros means a KO does not have a kinyan on the entire land, he does not actually own the property, he has a kinyan in the peiros in whatever grows the fruits that grow on that land, so he has a right to be mishtavish, he has a right to use this land for whatever period of time is made up. Or whatever circumstances were made up, and therefore that is what is known as a kinyan peiros. The machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish revolves around what type of kinyan, how much ownership does this person who has a kinyan on peiros in this piece of property, what type of ownership is this? Is this considered that he actually owns the field to a certain extent, or does it mean that he only owns the things that come out of the field? He has an intangible right to use the field, but we don't consider him an actual owner in the field. So Gemara says that this is a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that kinyan ha-peiros, the fact that a person has a kinyan in the peiros is considered just like he has a kinyan ha-guf, and he is considered, for whatever amount of time that he has this kinyan, he is considered an actual owner of this field. And the Gemara says that since he's considered an owner in this field, so when he would be makdish this field, if he gives this field to hekdish, it would be considered a steachuzah. And the Gemara has other nachminas. The Gemara says the nachmina is if he is mechuyev to bring bikurim from whatever grows in the field, because the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to bring bikurim, the first fruits that grow in a person's field in Eretz Yisrael. And this mitzvah only applies to somebody who actually owns the field. If somebody, the Torah says, has to be me'artzach, has to come from your own land. So whoever has the kinyan aguf in the field, he's considered the owner. But what if this person only has the kinyan peiros? He doesn't own the actual field. He only owns the fruits that grow from this field. So if we say that a kinyan peiros is not like a kinyan aguf, so he's not considered that he actually owns the land. However, Rabbi Yochanan says that a kinyan peiros is considered like a kinyan aguf, and therefore he can bring, and he's actually chayiv to bring bikurim from this piece of land, from whatever grows on this land. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says that a kinyan peiros is not like a kinyan aguf. A kinyan ha-peiros, the fact that he owns the peiros, he owns, he has the right to use his karka, to use his land, that does not give him the same level of ownership as someone who has a kinyan ha-guf. In fact, the Gemara says, elsewhere the Gemara in Yevamah says that we know the rule is that all over Shas, that whenever there's a machloikis, there's a disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan. However, the Gemara says in Yevamah is that there are three exceptions. And one of the three exceptions is this machloikis, the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If a kinyan ha-peiros gives a person an ownership in the actual guf ha-karka, it's like he's an owner, and therefore the Gemara says, since we pass in like Rish Lakish, the halacha is that a kinyan ha-peiros is not considered like a kinyan ha-guf. That's the way the Gemara passes, and in fact this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reishin Zayin Choshen Mishpat brings down this halacha that we paskin, that right, a kinyan ha-peiros is not considered like a kinyan ha-guf. Now the Gemara over here has an interesting question. The Gemara says a statement that Rabbi Yochanan holds. Rabbi Yochanan holds ha'achin shecholku v'kuchei sein, that if you have two brothers, someone dies, and all his money goes to his yorshim, to his children, and they divide all his money, and they divide all his land. So we have a bunch of brothers who inherited the father's land, and they split up the property, they split up all the money, everything that they inherited from the father, they split up, and everyone gets a piece of land. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, ha'achin shecholku, these achin, these brothers that split up, they are considered lekuchos. It's as if each person brought part of the karka from Achin Shecholku. If there are two brothers that split up a piece of land, so Rabbi Yochanan says they are considered the kuchos. So each one owns, really doesn't own, has a complete ownership in the land, so it says if each one sold his chelik in the land to the other person. So the halacha is when someone buys a piece of land from somebody else, he doesn't own it forever. It's inherit Yisrael. And the time when the yovel is naik, so when the yovel comes, that piece of land goes back to the original owner. And therefore, whenever yovel comes, these two brothers, they have to make a new haluka. They have to redistribute the land. They can distribute it the old way, but it has to be a new distribution, because every time it comes to yovel, since they're considered lukuchais, they're not considered like they are the original owners of the land. So therefore, whenever yovel comes, we have to have they lose their ownership in the land, and it goes back to the original property of the estate of the father. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that achin shchok bar lukuchais, so we have a problem, because that means that every time someone dies, all his money gets divided among his children, and each one of his children is not considered that they actually own the land. They're only considered that they bought the land from the other brothers, from everybody else. So in that case, the only kinyan they have in this land is the kinyan payres. And if I hold kinyan payres, it's not like a kinyan aguf. That means, as we said before, there is no chiv to bring bikurim. So the Gemara says that if you would hold that Achan Shechok are considered lukuchos, they don't actually have an ownership in the land, and you would hold a kinyan payres. It's not like a kinyan aguf. You would hold like Rish Lakish. So then, it would not be possible for anyone to bring bikurim unless he was an only child, he was the only son, and his father was also an only son, all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun. So the Gemara says, "Lemishkach tamaisi bikurim." We don't find anyone that brings bikurim helchad barchad until he's in a single son, the son of a single son, all the way back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. However, the Gemara says it's not a problem because Rabbi Yochanan himself is the other opinion. Rabbi Yochanan himself, who is the one who says that you consider lukuchos, he paskins that kinyan payers are like a kinyan aguf, and therefore this person can bring bikurim. The question that Tosfos has is that's true in Rabbi Yochanan, so we understand the Gemara. However, the halacha, as we said before, when it comes to kinyan payers, is like Rish Lakish, that kinyan payers are not like a kinyan aguf. Nevertheless, what the halacha is when Achim Shecholku, when two brothers or any number of brothers split up an estate, an inheritance, the halacha is that we pass in. Tosfos says that they're considered lukuchas. That means that in when it comes in regard to that halacha, they're not considered that they are owners of the land. The only kinyan they have in the land is the kinyan payers. So the Gemara's question is that the Gemara answered that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a problem. True, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a problem. However, Tosfos is that according to the way we pass in Lahalacha, it should be a problem. And Tosfos says the same way the Gemara said that it doesn't make sense to say such a thing, that most people cannot bring Bikurim. So Tosfos says, so then according to the way we pass it also doesn't make sense that most people should not be able to bring Bikurim. So Tosfos says, how are we going to get out of this problem? How could we say that Achan Shechoku are considered like Lukuchos, and at the same time Paskin, that Kinyan Peres is not like a Kinyan Aguf? So Tosfos answers that in reality, this that the Gemara says that we Paskin, like Rish Lakish, that Kinyan Peres like a Kinyan Aguf, is not, we don't really Paskin like Rish Lakish in regard to all the halachas. The Gemara over there in Yevamos, when it says we Paskin like Rish Lakish, is referring to one specific case. It's not referring to all cases, but usually we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan that kinyan payers is kinyan aguf. In only regard to one specific halacha that the Gemara says over there, we say over there that the halacha is like Rish Lakish. Therefore, it says when it comes to bikurim, really the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is that the kinyan payers is considered like a kinyan aguf, and therefore there is no problem with somebody being able to bring bikurim any time he splits up the property of his inheritance together with his brothers. This is the teretz that is suggested by Tosfos. The Ketzayt HaChoshet in the Siman Reish Zayin Siv Katan Gimel says this might be a good answer for Tosfos, that Tosfos has a good answer. However, the way that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned before, the Shulchan Aruch paskin that a kinyan payres is not considered like a kinyan aguf, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in regard to all halachos. That means that according to the Shulchan Aruch, we can't say that when it comes to Bikurim, we're going to say that a kinyan payres is equal to a kinyan aguf, and therefore you can bring Bikurim. And therefore the question comes back, Tosfos' question is still shver the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that according to us, that we hold that someone who has a kinyan peiros is not considered a true owner of the property. He only owns the peiros, he does not own the guf. So therefore, this is a contradiction. This doesn't allow a person to bring bikurim, because we also paskin that ha'achin, brothers that split up, are considered like lekuchos, and they're not considered actual owners on their property. Therefore, the Ksais HaChoshen wants to give a different answer to Tosfos' question. The Ksais HaChoshen says that we find the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Mechira, Perach of Gimel Halacha Hey, the Rambam discusses that if somebody sells a piece of land for a set number of years, and after that number of years, the land is going to return to the original owner. So the Rambam says that during those years that a person owns the land, it is considered as if he's a complete owner in the land, and he's allowed to do whatever he can. He can build whatever he can dig holes in the land. He can do whatever he wants to this field. He can dig holes, and he can mess up and destroy anything that he finds in the field. After the time is up, then it goes back to the original owner. And the Rambam says, how do I know that you can do such a thing? The Rambam says, because this is just like what was noyig in Eretz Yisrael during the times of the Yovel, when there was a Yovel. So the halacha was, you can sell your field to somebody else, and he owns it until Yovel, but after Yovel comes back. So over there, the Rambam says, of course you understand that over there he can do whatever he wants. So since over there he can do whatever he wants, so too when somebody sells a piece of land for a distinct time period, so that is considered he's allowed to do whatever he wants to this field. Says the Ksais HaChoshen, what do I see from this Rambam? I see that the Rambam holds that whenever somebody sells a piece of land for a specific time period, for a specific time, we don't consider it that he only has a kinyan peiros. He owns the right to use the field, and he doesn't have an actual kinyan aguf. Because if we say that this person does not own the actual land, so then all he should be allowed to do is to use the land in a way that doesn't destroy it, that doesn't damage it, that doesn't cause any damage. But to actually change the land, to dig holes, to build things that are going to change the constitution of this land, of this piece of land, that already means, if you're allowed to do that, that must mean that you actually have a kinyan in the actual piece of land. That's called a kinyan haguf. So therefore, the Ksais HaChoshen says that we have to say that there is a difference between a kinyan peiros, that's a right to use the field, a right to have used the peiros that come out of this field. There's a difference between what a kinyan peiros and this that the Rambam is discussing, this piece of land that you sold for a specific time, that has a different term. That's called a kinyan haguf. You actually own this land. However, it's a kinyan haguf lizman. It has a kinyan haguf for a limited amount of time. So the Ksais HaChoshen said that when somebody owns a kinyan peiros, if he doesn't actually own the field, he only owns the peiros that come out from this field, then it's not considered to be passing that a kinyan peiros is not like a kinyan aguf. However, when somebody owns a kinyan aguf lizman, if he owns this field for a specific amount of time, and during that time when he owns it, he can do whatever he wants it, that means he actually has a kinyan aguf. So when he comes back to the question of whether somebody is allowed to bring bikurim, or if he's mechuyev to bring bikurim, so we say only someone who has a kinyan aguf can bring bikurim. Somebody who doesn't actually own the land, he only has a kinyan peiros, cannot bring bikurim. So the Rambam will say, according to the Ksais HaChoshen, the Rambam will say that this piece of land that he sold, at least in Eretz Yisrael, he sold it, Bizman HaYoyvel, he doesn't only own a kinyan aperis, he owns a kinyan aguf. And Bizman HaZeh, when we say Achan Shechoku, when someone inherits a piece of land and he splits it with his brother, so he owns it until Yoyvel, but then after Yoyvel, he has to redistribute it. But he owns it until Yoyvel, so that's a kinyan aguf Bizman. And since that's a kinyan aguf Bizman, that's much more than a kinyan aperis. It's not like a kinyan peiros that the Gemara says that kinyan peiros are not like a kinyan aguf. That's actually a kinyan aguf, that's a real kinyan aguf. It's just only for a limited amount of time. In such a situation, says the Ksais HaChoshen, there's absolutely no problem, and of course there will be a definite chiyuv to bring bikurim from such a piece of land. Now, this Ksais HaChoshen, when we're talking about the chiyuv bikurim, obviously Bizman HaZeh, there is no chiyuv to bring bikurim, but this, the chiddush of the Ksais HaChoshen has ramifications to halacha. We find a halacha that the Torah says that there's a mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot to take the arba minim, to take the dal minim, the lulav, the esrog, hadasan, haravan, and hold them and shake them. Is a special mitzvah in our Torah. One of the conditions for this mitzvah in our Torah is that at least on the first day of Sukkot, which is the mitzvah the same in our Torah, a person has to own his own davening. He has to own his lulav and own his esrog. He cannot borrow an esrog or lulav from somebody else in order to be mekayem the mitzvah. He actually has to own it. What happens if somebody does not have his own lulav or own esrog? How he has? Is there no way for him to be mekayem the mitzvah? So the Gemara says there's a way. He can go to somebody else and ask to use their lulav or their esrog. Now he can't ask to borrow it, because if he borrows it, he's not mekayem the mitzvah. However, he can ask for it to be given to him as what's known as a matona amanasahazin. He asks his friend to give him a gift. He wants to have the lulav and the esrog as a gift. And then when he receives it as a gift, he'll own it. He'll be able to shake the lulav, and then he'll return it. And what's going to ensure that the person who borrowed or whatever, who acquired this esrog, is going to return it, is because the person who's giving to him makes a condition that it's amanasahazin, that I'm only giving it to you on condition that you return it when you're done. If you don't return it when you're done, that means that there's a tenai in the matana that you never owned it. If you never owned it, that means you were never yaitzah. So therefore, he's making a condition that the person who's giving it to him can be sure, or almost sure, that he's going to receive the lulav and the esrog in return, and that he's going to get it back when he's finished. And that is the way that somebody could mekayim the mitzvah lulav and esrog. Because for that time that he owned it, it's technically considered his, even though he needs to return it afterwards. So the Ksais HaChoshen in Simen Reish Mem Aleph says that when the person returns the esrog, when he takes the esrog from his friend, he has to make a kinyan. Because in order to receive a matana, receive a matana from your friend, you receive a gift, you need to make a kinyan, some sort of kinyan. And when you take something by the talus and something that's not attached to the ground, you can take it, pick it up, and make a kinyan. And that's considered a good kinyan, and then he owns it. The question is, what about when he returns it? When he returns it to the owner, the original owner, the question is, does the original owner have to be kinyan in return in order for the person who borrowed it to fulfill his obligation? Again, he has an obligation. He made a condition. This was on condition that he return it. So the condition of returning the esrog, what does that mean? Does that mean he has the condition is that he has to return it to the hands of the original owner? Or does it mean that he has to be maknit, he has to make a kinyan, it has to now at the end, when he's done, it has to belong to the original owner? And since when the person who borrowed it was shaking the lulav, it belonged to him, it belonged to me when I was shaking the lulav, so I have to make a kinyan when I give it back and return it to the original owner. So Pashup Shadu would seem, the Pais can assume over there in Sin Reish Mamal, that you have to make a kinyan. The Ksai Zachoshin wants to say over there that making a kinyan is unnecessary. Why, says the Ksai Zachoshin? Because when somebody gives something as an atonam and as bahakzir, that is, in effect, it really is a kinyan haguf lizman. He has a kinyan in the guf, in the actual esrog, but only for a limited time. He has a kinyan for the 5 minutes it takes for him to shake the lulav, and after that, his kinyan expires, because it's only for a certain amount of time. And once it's for a certain amount of time, it mimela on its own, it reverts to the original owner. And this is the opinion of the Ksais HaChoshen, as we said before, that when somebody has a kinyan haguf lizman, and somebody owns something and he actually has a complete ownership in this object or in this piece of land, but it's only for a limited amount of time, at we still say that during that time that he owns it, he's considered a 100% of an owner on this chayitz, on this object, on this land, and therefore he can do whatever he wants with it, and he can even be mekayim the mitzvah. And the Nesivus disagrees with very strongly with the Ksais, and most Paiskim over there assume that when you return the esrog, you need to make a kinyan. You need to make a kinyan in order for the original owner of the esrog to receive it. He has to receive it by virtue of a kinyan. You can't give it back to him. You're not yaitzah, you're mitzvah, if you give it back to him in a way where he did not make a kinyan. And the question is, why isn't the Ksais correct? If we say that a kinyan haguf lizman, it means that he actually owns it, so why can't you do that? Why don't we say that instead, even if you tell me that for some reason when he says matana manas lahazir, so he didn't mean to give it to him as a kinyan haguf lizman, but let him say, instead of doing a matana manas lahazir, let's do it this way. Let's say I'm giving it to you as a kinyan haguf for 5 minutes, and then after that it automatically becomes mine, and then there's no point in you using it anymore, because now it's mine. And if you still keep it at that time, then you're a gazlan, you're stealing it, and so forth. So the Nesivus over here seems to say clearly that This idea that the Kleis HaChoshim says that someone who has a Kinyan Guf is man, he's considered a 100% of an owner in the Sefis, is untrue. And the Sefis disagrees and says that there's no such thing. If somebody owns something for a limited amount of time, no matter how long that time is, and no matter how much I tell you that you own it, you have a Kinyan Guf, it's not true. The only amount of ownership and halacha that you could have on this Sefis is the equivalent of a Kinyan Peiris. And therefore, according to the Nesivis, even in such a case, you would not be considered that you actually own the Esrig. It's only considered that you have a Kenyan Peiris in the Esrig. If you have a Kenyan Peiris in the Esrig, that's not enough in order to be Mekai in the midst of the Esrig. The midst of the Esrig in Lulav, you actually have to own it completely. Therefore, the only way to be Mekai in the midst of Lulav and Esrig, according to the Nesivis, would be to make a Kenyan and say, I'm being magnet to you forever, but there is a condition that you have to return it to me, and if that's the case, it will not automatically return to my rishus. You have to make a Kenyan when you return it to my rishus.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.